was enough for the 3 points. Manchester City are still alive here. Balotelli, Aguero! What's called a Giroud header? And talk about an instant impact! Arsenal really are motoring now.
Good evening and welcome to another episode of the Football Weekly Podcast. I'm your host, Reggie. Tonight is a different type of show. It's an international break where we don't usually do shows on an international break, but we had a historic game played last night or tonight between Canada and the United States, and I just want to get some things off my chest, so it'll be a quick 30-minute show. Hopefully I can keep it under 30 minutes, but we'll be back next week with a regular show. But as usual, you can get to our podcast from our website, footballweekly.com. You can subscribe to our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player FM, iHeartRadio. We're on Spotify, Google Podcasts. You can subscribe to our podcast on Instagram, football_weekly_podcast. You can subscribe to us on Twitter, @football_weekly. A lot of different ways you can get in touch with us and a lot of different ways you can subscribe to our content. So guys, as usual, sit back, relax, get stuck in with the Football Weekly Podcast. We'll be back after this.
I swear you'll never see anything like this ever again. So watch it. Drink it in.
Jack Wilshere, Fisola, Giroud. Giroud again. Jack Wilshere. It's stunning from Arsenal.
Hey guys, my name is Alex Comsia. I play for North Carolina FC, and you're listening to the Football Weekly Podcast.
What a night. What a night indeed. Toronto, October 15th. Canadian men's national team beats the United States 2-0 at BMO Field in the heart of downtown Toronto while the Leafs were playing, no doubt. So it's just me in the studio. I decided to do this real quick. It's just going to be a quick 30-minute thing. But I've got a lot of things I want to get off my chest. And this is kind of, we're kind of going back to the original Football Weekly where it was just me venting and ranting and raving about football and the Arsenal. But I have there's so many things this game brought out in me yesterday. Almost to the point where I had to write stuff down so that I wouldn't forget. Almost. I don't even know where to begin. No, let's begin with the game. Canada won 2-0. Fantastic game. They played pretty perfect. Almost perfect, I'll say. A blemish on the game was the injury to Marc-Anthony Kay. Happened in the 4th minute, I believe. Hamstring injury. But again, we always say this, someone else's pain is another person's opportunity. And we'll talk about that a little later on in the show as well. Now, John Herdman came out with the quote before the game. The team's going to give blood, guts. It's going to be thunder. All the rah-rah stuff that you hear from coaches. Okay, no problem. Every coach does it. Oh, we're going to do this. We're going to do that. It's fine. But the team came out and actually did it. Like I said, it was 2-0 goals from Alphonso Davies. Looks fantastic out there. I think he should take guys on more. I don't think he should ever stop the ball. He's two-footed. He's quick. I think he could destroy defenders, especially in the CONCACAF. I think when he picks up the ball and starts running at you, you panic. But he slows down and kind of wants to be a team guy and looks for other guys. I think he should just go for self. Second goal was scored in the 91st minute, I believe, by Lucas Cavallini. Great ball from Jonathan Osorio over the top. Lets it bounce twice and then hits a half volley past Zach Stefan. Into the net, 2-0. Place goes crazy. I hit the ceiling. Well done. Yes, I did watch it at home. And you're saying, how? How did you watch it at home? Well, guys who know me know how I watched it at home. I'm not going to say, but I did watch it at home. And you're probably sitting at home, hey, I couldn't make it to the game. I looked everywhere for it, but I couldn't find it. Well, you had to watch it on ESPN. And this is where the ranting and the raving on my part begins. So, great win by the Canadian national team. Well done, John Herdman. I applaud you guys. You guys played direct. You played compact as well. You're technically good on the ball, and your press was fantastic. So we got the good stuff out of the way. This rant has nothing to do with the Canadian men's national team. It's just the narrative around them that I have a problem with. And we'll get into that right now. I've said this in other shows previous. I don't understand how I'm in Canada and I can't watch the Canadians men's national team play a game on regular cable. I don't get it. I don't get it. TSN and Sportsnet should be ashamed of themselves. It's an absolute disgrace that this game was not shown on any one of the 10 channels between them. There's five on TSN. There's five on Sportsnet. Believe me, you know there's five because you pay for all of them. So you know there's five. They should be ashamed of themselves. It's a disgrace. If it was hockey, it would be on all 10 channels. It's gross. I was watching a game on ESPN2. Well, imagine that, actually. Imagine that. ESPN, one of the biggest, well, the biggest sports network in the United States, is showing the United States national team on one of their many channels. That's amazing. I don't get it. It's, how did they do it? Like, you have to sit down and explain to Canadian broadcasters, how did you do that? It's not hockey. It's not basketball. How did you get soccer on? It's crazy what Sportsnet and TSN have done. And I can promise you, I haven't watched TSN probably since last year EPL game that they showed last year. I promise you, I haven't watched TSN since then. I don't even know what they show. I know they show a couple of Leaf games here and there, but what else do they show? Poker? Kosovo versus Liechtenstein? When your men's national team is playing in Toronto against a neighbor rival? Disgraceful. Sportsnet the same. Houston Astros versus the Yankees. Poker. Johnny Shortstacks versus Jimmy on the River. And heads up. Who cares? Who cares? People, believe it or not, and people always talk about, oh, Canadian soccer, no one cares. Believe it or not, that game would probably have been one of your highest for those guys now that they don't have Champions League, Europa League, the EPL, and whatever else they don't have anymore. That probably would have been one of their highest rated programs for the last 2 months. I guarantee you it would be. But I get to watch the Winnipeg Jets and the Minnesota Wild or whoever the hell they were playing. The Dallas Coyote or the Denver Coyotes or whatever they are. Fantastic. Thank God Sportsnet has Tim and Sid, because for me, it would be the same as TSN. I wouldn't even know where the channels are. I wouldn't have anything to do with Sportsnet. A couple of Leaf games here and there, fine, I'll watch. But other than that, what's really going on in that network? The Jays are done, so there's no Jays games. Like, what are you showing, really? It would have been the perfect opportunity to show this game, get some ratings, get some feedback on the amount of people that are actually interested in the Canadian national team, and maybe say, hey, you know what? It's probably one of our biggest rated shows for about 4 months. Let's try to get all the rights for the Canadian national team and show them to the people like ESPN does. Amazing. Amazing concept. So I was forced to watch the game on ESPN2 with the American commentators, Ian Dark, which I guess he's an American now because he's talking up a storm about how great the Americans were before the game, and Taylor frickin' Twellman. Now, I know there's guys out there that like Taylor Twellman. For me, he's on the same level as Alexi Lalas. I cannot listen to this guy for more than 3 minutes. I don't know. There's something about his arrogance and his I know everything, and I can't listen to those two guys for more than 3 minutes. And it's about the 64th minute, he made a very great point. He said, while Canada was absolutely smashing the United States in every part of the midfield, he said, this is probably one of the greatest games I've ever seen Canada play. It's too bad the rest of the Canada won't see it. They're going to have to read about it tomorrow in the newspaper because Sportsnet and TSN declined the rights to show the game. Now, it's coming from Taylor Twellman, so I don't know how true and accurate the statement is, but if it is true, you got a long way to go in this country. As far as it not being a hockey event, we don't, nobody cares. It's not true anymore. It's not true anymore. Soccer is the fastest growing sport in Canada. It's the biggest sport in the world. One of, if not the biggest, one of the biggest sports in the world. And you declined to show your men's national team? In the United States, and I keep comparing to the United States because I'm going to do that all throughout the show because that's who they played. What national team in the U.S. would not be shown on TV? The men's basketball team games will be shown on TV. Doesn't matter what it is. Dream Team games or men, USA men's basketball game will be shown. Hockey will be shown. Soccer was shown. I watched it on a ESPN2, but it's still part of their sports package. The women's soccer team as well. Games will be shown. During the game, actually, an advert came up for the I don't even know the name of the league, but it's the Women's Professional League. They're playing the playoffs. Hey, you can watch it here on that certain time at this date. Can you imagine TSN or Sportsnet showing CPL games? They wouldn't dare waste their time and money on that, would they? It's a disgrace. It's a disgrace. They should be, like I said, they should be ashamed of themselves for not picking up this game for all of Canada to watch. It's not TFC. It's not the Toronto Maple Leafs. It's Canada. You would have had from coast to coast watching this game. Nah, we're good. Johnny Two Stacks is going to get screwed on the river. Hold on, just watch. Disgusting. Aaron Judge is going to hit a home run. Just watch. Disgraceful. Timmonsit is the only thing keeping that station floating, I'm telling you. Content is terrible. But anyways, now there's another narrative around the U.S. men's national team, I guess. Canada did this because the United States is terrible now. And I half agree. I don't know if they're terrible. I won't say terrible, but it's a national team. They're better than me, so what can, you know, they're the best. They're supposedly the best players the United States has to put forth. But are they really? Canada did play well. They've played the best I've seen them play. I haven't been able to watch them a lot because nobody shows them on TV. And if they're playing in Vancouver, how are we going to see that? All I can do is depend on the reporting from Twitter or guys that actually were at the game, like reporters writing it in newspapers, like Taylor Twellman said. You're going to have to read about it. So you hear about these guys, Jonathan David, okay, he's doing well. But I want to see myself. That midfield of Arfield, Petit, and Liam Fraser was fantastic last night. Fantastic. So maybe Canada played well, which made the U.S. look bad. I used to play youth soccer in Scarborough for a club called Wexford. We won everything. Not tooting horns, I'm giving you the facts. We won everything. Name a tournament, we won it. But every tournament you go to, you play someone in the finals. And that team that went into the finals did things right for, well, if it's a two-day tournament, for 2 days, they did the same things right that we did. If it's Ontario Cup, they did the same thing right for the whole way. It's I don't know if it's still the same now in Ontario Cup, but it's one and done. You play your game, you lose, you're out. You play 6-7 games throughout the year, you make it to the Ontario Cup Finals. They won their 7 games just like us, but we were so much better than teams that we made them look bad when the final score comes and you have 5-0, 6-0. But they still came, they still won the games that they had to win to make it there. So are they a bad team because we were better than them? Doesn't make sense to me, but you still have to say that they're a good team because they did what they had to do to get there. But in the United States, it's just like, from what I'm hearing on Twitter and from, Stu Holden and Lexi Lalas, oh, we need a reshuffle. We can't. we lost to Canada. We have to blow up everything. Like, you lost to Canada because they played better than you. Not because you were bad. It's because they were better than you. You're going to go to France and play France and lose 5-0 and say you're going to blow up everything? No, because you're expected to lose. So you were expecting to come in here and just slap Canada around like you always do for 35 years. Well, 2-0, 3-0, and everything would have been fine. But since you lost, oh, we got to blow. Canada beat us. We got to blow everything. Blah, blah, blah. These guys act like the United States was going to be good forever. It doesn't matter who they put out there. As long as they're red, white, and blue, they're going to be amazing. Every single national team goes through their ups and downs. Their dry periods, their golden generations, we'll say. Joe and I always talk about golden generation with Belgium. This is their golden generation. They have to win something in the next Euro, even in the next World Cup. They have to win something. Come in second, win the whole thing. You have to do something. Because I don't see a generation like this set of players coming down the Belgian pike ever again. Again, can't talk in absolutes because I'm not privy to the Belgium national team setup, but I don't see another player coming like a Lukaku, a Hazard, both of the Hazards actually, De Bruyne. I don't see these new guys coming up that are from Belgium. They're not like a Brazil, a Germany, where there's always this new set of players that's coming through that are fascinating. So the USA has to take this one on the chin and say, you know what, we were played off the field by a better team and tweak what they have instead of saying we have to blow it up because we lost to Canada. That being said, there's some players on the U.S. national team that, and I know everybody's Pulisic is going to be the next what? He had the flu. He was a flu. Come on. Pulisic looked terrible last night. Now, I didn't watch him at Dortmund, where apparently he was fantastic. So much so that Chelsea paid 60 or 70 million for him, whatever. Hasn't really got a sniff at Chelsea. I understand it. You're coming from the German league, going to the Premier League. It's a step up. And you got to get accustomed to living there. It's London, it's busy, blah, blah, blah. I get it. I'm not expecting him to hit the ground running. But the United States commentators, the United States people, the United States fans think you're getting the same Pulisic that was in Germany. And how come he's not playing at Chelsea? I'll tell you why he's not playing at Chelsea. It's a different league. It's a step up. Frank Lampard doesn't think that he is ready for the step. So he's slowly blooding him into it. That's no problem. So when you're playing players that are supposed to be on your level or that you're supposed to be better than, you should shine, right? He looked bloody awful last night. Awful. Losing the ball, giving away the ball, not tracking back. He looked awful. And if that's your number 10 and who you're basing your whole national team around, I don't know. I'm not going to say anyone's terrible. Again, everyone's trying their best. They're on the national team. They're making money. They're playing professional. I'm not. I'm just talking about it. So they're better than me, 100%. Better than most of us listening. But he was awful. Michael Bradley, I love Michael Bradley. He's my captain. Captain of the TFC is my captain. Even if Michael Bradley leaves the TFC after next season, his contract's done. Even if he leaves and we talk about the captain, for me, it's Michael Bradley. I don't care who takes over. It's going to be Michael Bradley. Michael Bradley is the captain of TFC forever here in Toronto. And I'm not the only one who says that. But he was outplayed by Liam Fraser sitting at the base of the midfield for Canada. Liam Fraser looked like he's been playing there for years. And that was his first cap for Canada. And he looks like he was playing there for years. And he was only put in because Marc-Anthony Kay got injured in the first 4 minutes of the game. So now you're at your home field at BMO. You probably have your whole brass watching. Vanny was probably there somewhere watching in a box. And now he sees Liam Fraser sitting at the base of the midfield providing combativeness, can play technically with his feet. He's a big, strong kid. And now you're looking at the paychecks of Michael Bradley and Liam Frazier and saying, well, hey, wait a minute. Liam Frazier can do what Michael Bradley can do. One guy's making, I don't know what Frazier's making, we'll say $100,000 per year. I don't know what it is, but we'll say that for the sake of my comparison. And Michael Bradley's making $6.5 million. We're eventually going to need another striker. But I think Jozy Altidore's broken down to the point where we're not going to get the same guy back that we had 2 years ago. So maybe we use that $6 million to get a striker and bring Liam Frazier into the fold as a defensive midfielder just in front of the defenders. Something to think about. Something to think about. But again, is he at the level where he can play 90 minutes on a national team? If that team goes to the World Cup, Michael Bradley's your holding midfielder? He's had a great career, but I don't know if that's the guy you have as your holding midfielder when you're playing world-class opposition. Didn't do too bad last night, but still need to be an upgrade there. And if he's the best you have to upgrade. Daniel Lovitz and Tim Ream. Every time Alphonso Davies got the ball, Tim Ream looked like he wanted to throw up. And if Daniel Lovitz is on your national team, well, again, not dissing anybody, and I'm not saying anyone's garbage or terrible or anything like that, but Daniel Lovitz is not a national team player for a team like the United States. He wouldn't make Canada's national team. He shouldn't have made the U.S. national team. Maybe they have injuries or something and they had to bring someone in. I'm not sure, but Daniel Lovitz? Right back? So it kind of sounds like I'm contradicting myself because I'm saying that the players that they brought out aren't up to that standard of play. But if you were to talk to anybody before the game, U.S. pundits or anything like that, they would say that they have enough to beat Canada. But now that they didn't beat Canada, it's that, oh, they're so bad and terrible and they have to reevaluate. Every team has a player that's a weak link. You have one or two guys that are on your team that are the weak link. I get it. It's fine. You have, you know, a defender that might not be the quickest on the turn of pace. You might have a right back that's not that technical. You might have a holding midfielder that can't play a 40-yard long ball to a striker or support the striker enough to and then play a through ball to a cutting winger making a run. Okay, you have guys that can't do certain stuff. They're good at some stuff. They're not good at other things. That's fine. So everybody has their role on the team. It just depends what your opposition's doing as well. If you give Michael Bradley 6 seconds to make a pass, he'll make the right pass. It'll be pinpoint. It'll be accurate. It'll go to the person it's supposed to go to. Looks like a world beater out there. Now you pressure him and give him 1.5 seconds to make that pass, gets taken from him. So the Canadian press, fantastic. And that's probably one of the main reasons why the U.S. lost last night. It's because the Canadian team played so much better than them. They were on it from the get-go. John Herdman had them believing. Case closed. Now they play again in, I guess, 3 weeks' time, I think it is. November 7th, if I'm not mistaken, in Orlando. So that'll be an interesting game. It's going to be at home. I don't know what changes the United States team can make. I mean, John Herdman, and then this was said in the commentary last night on ESPN2, that John Herdman had a masterstroke by bringing in Junior Hoilett and Lucas Cavallini when he did, because now you got two fresh strikers running at these guys that have been chasing Jonathan David and Alphonso Davies around for 70 minutes. Now you have to deal with Lucas Cavallini, who was a big strapping, you know, physical forward, and then the tricky, quick pace of Junior Hoilett. It looked like a masterstroke. It's genius. So that game should be interesting. I mean, I don't know how well the Canadian national team travels to travel. In the past, it's not very good. But yeah, I'm excited for that game. And I'm not holding my breath that it'll be on any one of TSN or Sportsnet. But I've got ESPN too, so I should be able to watch it. If not, I can get a one-day subscription to One Soccer for like $5 to watch the game. No problem. I will do that. But I'm hoping by then, TSN, Sportsnet have smartened up to the point where they, you know, it's Canada's national team. It's not just a local-based rec team that's playing. It's your Canadian men's national soccer team playing. And the Canadian Soccer Association should be saying, hey, why the hell aren't you showing this? Again, it's not the Leafs. Why aren't you showing the Leaf game in Vancouver? It's not that. It's you're showing the Canadian men's national soccer team. It should be on from coast to coast on one of the channels. Disgraceful. Anyways, that's my quick 30-minute rant. Should be back next week with a regular show. It's International Week this week. We'll come back after the EPL week and the Serie A week. And we'll also review the World Poker Tournament and how that went. And then we'll do some do a preview on Houston Astros. So thanks for listening. We'll catch you next week.